www.kkfi.org.
The views and opinions of this program are those of its host and guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Midcoast Radio Project, or its staff and volunteers.
Good morning. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. This morning we have Mr. Ben Sharda of the Kansas City Community Gardens. Good morning, Mr. Sharda. Welcome to Cowtown Conversations.
Good morning.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, Mr. Sharda. How long have you been involved with the Kansas City Community Gardens?
Okay. That's a very good question. I've actually been with the Community Gardens since 1985. So 33 years. So, like, I just heard you talking about KKFI being around for 30 years. So, yeah, all during that time.
What is the mission of the Kansas City Community Gardens?
Yeah, our mission is to empower and inspire low-income families and community groups to grow food and to do that, you know, with vegetable gardens and growing fruit.
How long has the Kansas City Community Gardens been around? You've been with them for 33 years, but they've been around a little bit longer.
A little bit longer. Yeah, they were actually started by the Metropolitan Lutheran Ministries, which is another not-for-profit in town. This is 1979 they had the idea, and, you know, they were doing lots of food assistance to low-income families, and they were handing out food, and somebody just had the bright idea of handing out packets of vegetable seeds, and so it kind of just took off from there.
Where was the community gardens originally located? I know you all moved into a new location, but where were you originally located?
Yeah. Well, we used to have our office, actually real close here, at 38th and Paseo, and we had a tiny little office, but we had a big garden over there at 21st and Brooklyn, and a lot of people are familiar with that site. It's near 18th and Vine, but also that's the site of the old baseball stadium where the Royals used to play and the Chiefs used to play. And so when they tore down that stadium, it was a big empty lot, and we had a really cool garden there for a number of years.
Monarch Stadium, that was the place.
And yes, the Monarchs, absolutely.
So when did you all move to your new location where you're located now? And can you tell listeners a little bit about that?
Yeah. Back in, oh gosh, it was like 1999, the city decided they were going to build houses at that site, and so they told us we needed to get ready to move. And, you know, we were kind of, you know, bummed out, disappointed that we had to move our garden, but the city was good to us. They helped us find a new spot. So, like, 2002, we moved into Swope Park. So the Parks Department is letting us use some land there, and that's been great for, gosh, for 16 years now. So it was just a great move for us because we were able to build a big headquarters there and a big children's garden and everything.
What neighborhoods and communities do you work with? Do you work with just neighborhoods that may be north of the river, south of the river, or is it anyone within that lives, works, and plays in Kansas City?
Yeah. No, we are all over the Kansas City metropolitan area. So anywhere, both on the Kansas side and the Missouri side, north of the river, south of the river, you know, through all the, you know, suburb towns, like out to, you know, Belton, Grandview, Raytown, North Kansas City, you know, and then on the Kansas side, of course, Kansas City, Kansas, you know, Johnson County even. You know, a lot of people don't think there is low-income people in Johnson County, but there is a significant low-end population there, too.
You all have such a great organization, have a wide breadth, and what we do know is that hunger knows no bounds. And how important is it to get fresh fruits and vegetables in areas of the town and our community where they're classified as a food desert?
Yeah, there's a lot of talk. You hear conversations about, you know, food deserts, and it is important because there are people who live in parts of town where they do not have good access to fresh fruits and vegetables. And if you can grow some of that stuff in your own backyard, it's going to help you a lot. They have done studies that one of the best things that people can do for their health for your whole life is to eat more servings of fruits and vegetables. That will have the greatest impact on your health than almost anything else you can do.
I know my aunt works with you all, and she grows tomatoes, and she loves her green tomatoes. And one of the things she complains about sometimes is the squirrels will get to her tomatoes before she can get to her tomatoes.
I hear so many stories about squirrels, but there's ways you can, you know, foil them, you know, try and discourage them. And I get lots of questions about squirrels. And we actually teach a class on that about how to cope with pests and things like that. Because that's one of the things we do is we help teach people about gardening. Not everybody knows gardening. A lot of the people we work with grew up gardening, and they learned it from their parents and their grandparents, and they've been doing it for years and years. But some people are beginners, and they're a little bit, you know, scared of how to proceed.
The Kansas City Community Gardens has many, many great programs to help those get involved in gardens, and one of them is your KCC Garden Membership. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. We're a little bit different from some community garden organizations in that we actually will help people in their backyards. You know, Kansas City is fortunate people have backyards. I mean, sometimes, you know, maybe you don't have a good backyard and you need to rent a garden plot, and we can help you with that too. We can talk about that in a minute. But yeah, so you can sign up for a membership. A family and or even just a single person can sign up. And if you're low income, you can get your membership for as low as $2, and it's really affordable. If you're not low income, it costs more, but then that helps support the organization. But either way, you're going to save money and be able to help grow. Gosh, for an investment as little as, you know, $15, $20 total, people can grow like $500 worth of food. So it really is a great way to save money on good, healthy food.
So how long does that membership last? When does it start and when does it end?
Yeah, it's good for the whole calendar year. So people are signing up right now, and then that's good through the end of December. And during that time, you know, people are able to, you know, get seeds and plants at very low cost. We actually have a tilling program for low-income households. You have to qualify under income guidelines, but we'll actually send somebody out to till up a garden in your backyard. And that is a huge thing, especially for elderly people, because it's difficult to till up a garden, and it costs a lot to pay somebody to do that. So,
and I know that is one of the barriers, and that helps a lot of our seniors.
Yes.
My aunt, she's going to love today. She does, they come out and help her. She,
yeah.
And that's one of the big barriers, because when somebody is tilted, then it's easy for them to turn around and to, you know, plant the seeds and do the things they need to do. So that is definitely a good thing. So what's about some of the other programs that you all may have? You know, do you all offer fertilizer to people? I know that's a big thing.
Yeah. With that membership, people actually get a 10-pound bag of organic fertilizer. It's a chicken manure-based product, but it really helps plants grow. And so we're able to offer that, and people want to. They can buy extra. It's just all about making garden affordable. And with that membership also, people get 10 packages of seed, so and they get to pick out what they want to grow. So we have all different kinds of vegetables. In fact, we are just getting ready to set out our seeds. Today is March 1st, and seeds are available now for people to come in if they're getting their memberships. And the whole idea, again, is just making gardening affordable for people.
What is the difference in between organic fertilizer and regular fertilizer?
Sure. Organic fertilizer is it comes from an organic product, so in this case chicken manure, but it can also be from other organic products. And the benefit in using organic fertilizer is it helps the soil texture and the long-term health of the soil. And a good way to compare it is you can get energy from eating, you know, a tablespoon of sugar, but you could also get energy from eating an apple. And so when you're eating an apple, you're getting natural sugar, and it's a slow release. It's not a big jolt all at once. The other thing is with the apple, you're getting all kinds of vitamins and minerals, because in the organic fertilizer, there's just all kinds of things in there that help build the soil. So it really is just a much healthier way to fertilize your plants.
I know there was a project a few years ago where the zoo was selling the elephant poo as fertilizer.
Yeah.
So that's definitely, I don't know how your neighbors might like that. And when it gets warm, it may not may not smell too well. Just a
you know,
bit.
It's funny. It actually, when it's been properly composted, there's not a lot of bad smell there, you know. And so, I mean, people have been using manure for, you know, thousands of years. And, yeah, the zoo has actually helped us out and donated some of that zoo poop, that elephant manure. And for some of our larger community guards, we've been able to provide that for them.
Okay. So if you have questions, we want to open up our phone lines. Our number is 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. Let's talk a little bit about a few of the programs you offer. Can we tell us a little bit, our listeners, a little bit about the Beanstalk Children's Garden?
Sure. That is a really unique program. It's a field trip. So think of, like, you know, kids going on field trips, like they go to the zoo or they go to the nature center. We want them to come to the Beanstalk Children's Garden so they can learn about food, learn about how food grows, and also learn about eating healthy, nutrition, and all that kind of good stuff. And so when that garden is actually located at our office right there in Swope Park, and we're at 6917 Kensington in Swope Park, right near the Nature Center. And for that field trip, groups can call and, you know, reserve a tour during the summer. And school groups come in the fall, so it is a great opportunity for kids just to get out and learn where food comes from.
And then you have another, you have community partner gardens. What are your community partner gardens?
Yeah, so besides working with families, we work with community groups, and this can be any kind of community organization that wants to do a garden, so any kind of not-for-profit. We work with all kinds of places like Operation Breakthrough, YMCA, Boys and Girls Clubs, Salvation Army. So any kind of group that wants to do a garden, we will help them do that. There's also a lot of churches now that are doing gardens, churches and congregations, and they're sometimes doing gardens to grow food for their food pantries, because they're having food pantries where they give away food to people in need, and they're able to grow some fresh vegetables to do that. So just like an individual family, we can help a community organization have a garden, and we'll provide things like seeds and plants and tilling for them as well.
And what about the Give and Grove? Talk a little bit about the Give and Grove.
Sure. Give and Grove is our newest program. So if you're thinking about, you know, like a community garden, this is a community orchard. So think talking about fruit trees, talking about berry plants. And there are now 135 Give and Grove sites throughout the city where there's fruit trees planted, and they'll be producing things like apples, pears, Asian pears. We have cherries, and then also berry bushes, things like blackberries and raspberries. And it's just going to provide lots and lots of food for this city.
I know our neighborhood in Santa Fe, the Give and Grow came out about a year ago, and we worked with them, and we put in some plum trees, a couple of apple trees, and how that really begins to help, you know, people that fresh fruit does wonders instead of canned fruit, and it will definitely help a lot of people.
And people, you know, a lot of people, fruit growing is a little trickier. And so we have to teach people how to do that. And so each of one of those Give and Grove sites has a special volunteer called a steward that helps take care of the fruit trees. And then they get community volunteers to help with that, too. And one single fruit tree can produce hundreds of pounds of fruit once it gets growing. It takes 2 or 3 years to get started, but then it'll produce lots of food.
We have a caller. Caller, can you tell us your name and where you're calling from, what your question is to Mr. Sharda?
Yeah, sure. My name is Rich. I'm calling from Overland Park, and my question is, how do you know that the soil isn't contaminated with dangerous materials that are going to be uptaken into the plants? That's one question. The other question is, how do you store fruits and vegetables for more than a month or so?
Okay, and that's a great question.
Thank you for your question, Rich.
The first part about contaminants, a lot of people are concerned with contaminants in the soil, and that would especially be true maybe in some of the urban core locations where maybe there's been industrial use. And probably the thing that would be the biggest potential for garden stuff would be heavy metals, things like lead. And you can actually get your soil tested for heavy metals, including lead. There's a soil test. If you contact our office, we can help you figure out how to get that soil test done, because it's not just a regular soil test. But beyond that, the other thing is to just look at the history of the site, find out what was there, if it's just been farmland. You know, I mean, there's the potential for some chemical contaminants from, you know, farm chemicals. But, you know, most sites, once they've been not used as farms, those chemicals dissipate and it's not a big issue. If the site was a place where there was some kind of industrial manufacturing or chemical processing going on, that's where you have to get really concerned. And, you know, the local EPA helps identify those sites so that we can steer clear of those.
We have a caller. Caller, can you tell us your name and where you're calling from, what your question is to Mr. Sharda?
Okay. Hi, my name is Donna. I'm calling from 169 South in a traffic jam. I think there's been a wreck. Just before the old airport. Looks pretty bad. But anyway, my question is about the tilling services that you offer. If someone can afford to pay, can you come out and till a garden? Does it just have to be a service provided to a low-income family?
Yeah.
And I live north of the river, so could you do it in Kansas City, Missouri, north of the river?
We could actually, the way we handle that, if it's not a low-income family, what we do is we make a referral to one of our tilling contractors. We have a number of tilling contractors that do the tilling for us, and they do jobs for anyone on the side. And so, yeah, it doesn't have to be a low-income family. So basically, we would give you their phone number, and you could call them and work it out with them. And they're reasonable, you know, to work with, and that way you could get your garden tilled up.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Donna.
Congratulations on your show,
Jeff. Thank you. So she's the host of Urban Connections, one of our Saturday shows.
Okay.
So I interned with her for 2.5 years, and if it wasn't for Donna, then I can tell you I would not be sitting here. So definitely thank you, Donna. So we've had – what if you have a backyard that you don't have any sunlight, but you want to have a garden? What can you do about that?
Yeah, that is a good question because there are lots of places in the city where there's just too many trees and you don't have good sunlight. And that's one of the questions we get lots of times. People ask, how much sun do I need? And full sun is best. You know, if you have full sun, you can grow plants really well. If you only have half-day sun, let's say you only get morning sun and you get afternoon shade, you can still grow things. It just may not produce as many tomatoes. If your yard is totally shady and you're not able to, like, remove any trees or make sunshine that way, you could actually then maybe rent a garden space at one of the community gardens. And we have 8 large community sites around the city where people can rent space. Or if you even just need a small space, you can rent just a raised bed, a small little garden plot. It doesn't have to be a big garden plot. And so contact our office. And I might mention our phone number is 816-931-3877 to get in touch with the community gardens. Or also you can email us. There's a contact email on our website, which is kccg.org.
So if you have any questions for our master gardener, Mr. Sparta, please give us a call, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. How important is a home garden? And as we've talked about, it can save you hundreds of dollars. It can grow good food for you. But how important is it for residents to know that they have that capability to be able to grow food?
Yeah. I mean, it can be a life-changing thing. I know for a lot of the people in our program, it really makes a difference in their lives because, A, besides eating healthier, they're being physically active, especially for seniors. It's good to get out and be working outside. But everyone today, I mean, I sit in an office all day, so to get out and do some exercise is a really good thing for me and other people, too. But also just eating healthier will make a big difference in your life. And besides just the food, there is a wonderful thing that happens when people do gardening in a community garden because people are working with each other. They're teaching each other things. And just working with other people, there's just lots of benefits to the community garden process.
We have a caller. Caller, can you tell us your name and what part of town you're calling from and what your question is to Mr. Sharda?
My name is Christy. I'm calling from Overland Park, and I was just curious about volunteers. What kind of commitment do you look for from volunteers?
Thank you. We work with lots of volunteers, and there's lots of different opportunities. Depending on what the volunteer situation is, right now we're looking for some volunteers to help in our front office during the busy springtime because it's like a garden center, and we have lots of customers coming in, signing up for gardens, picking out their seeds. And so for that particular volunteer opportunity, we're looking for someone who can do a four-hour shift once a week for the next 8 to 10 weeks. But we also have volunteers come in and help us with seed packaging. We're just finishing that up for right now, but that's you can just show up on a Tuesday or Thursday, you know, in the first part of January and February, and just work for a couple hours if you want, and that's it. We also have a children's garden where people can help volunteer to help take care of that garden, you know, do weeding and watering and, you know, keeping that garden looking good. And then we have lots of other opportunities for if a group wants to volunteer. Sometimes we'll get a business that wants to do a big project, and they'll actually help us build a garden, and that would be something that we might do in just a day. But we have a special man who works with us named Gabriel, who is our volunteer coordinator, and if you call or email the community gardens, you can ask to talk to Gabriel, and he could help you get set up with finding out what volunteer opportunities are available.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you, caller, for your call. So we've talked a little bit about the tiller program, but we've had people call in. So if there's anything else that you want to talk, would like to say about your tilling program and being able to, you know, have your garden tilled or what other kind of tiller benefits you may be able to offer people in the community that want to do a garden.
Sure, yeah. If people are interested in getting that, we recommend they come in and sign up soon for their membership. And they do need to bring some proof of income to sign up for that program. And then they'll get the membership and get the tilling, and they schedule it, and then the tillers will come out and do that. The other opportunity we have is you can actually rent a tiller from the community gardens if you want to till it yourself. Let's say you're anxious to get it done soon, and you have a vehicle. You can come and pick up the tiller, and it's very low cost. It's like just a fraction of the cost. If you go to a rental place, you have to pay a lot of money to rent a tiller, and we can do it very affordably for you.
So what are some of the barriers that you all see working with people to do a community garden?
In a group site, you mean?
Group site, a home site?
Yeah. I mean, one of the barriers is that sometimes people just think that they don't know enough, that it's too complicated. And I tell people, if you've never gardened before, don't be afraid. It's not that difficult. And I tell them, maybe start out with just growing two or three things, like tomatoes. I mean, everybody loves tomatoes, and you cannot get as good a tomatoes at the store as you can grow yourself. So, you know, if you put out two or three tomato plants, you put some mulch around them, water them, you know, put a little cage around them to help hold them up, it's not that difficult, and almost anyone can do that. So you just need a little spot, try it, and you know. Then every year you'll learn a few more things. And also people can come to classes. We have a whole series of workshops. If you'll look on our website, it tells you the different classes that are coming up, some on basic gardening. There's one coming up this Friday on taking care of fruit plants. So usually they're on Fridays, but there's a whole schedule. The other thing is our workshops are located in different places. Most of them are at our office, but we're doing some in Independence, some in Kansas City, Kansas. So there's different locations you can go to see a gardening workshop.
From reading you all's website, one of the most impressive parts that I saw was the schoolyard gardens. Can you talk a little bit about the schoolyard gardens and how important they are and what they actually teach children to do?
Yeah. School gardens are a big thing now. Many people are familiar with Michelle Obama doing, you know, school gardens and encouraging school gardens. And so we've been doing it for a number of years, but I will tell you that in the last 10 years, there has been an explosion in school gardens. 10 years ago, we had about 25 schools that were participating, and right now we have 216 schools. And so these are schools that are all over the metro area, and Originally, we started working with just grade schools, you know, regular, you know, grades, kids 1 through 6. But then we started getting preschools that were interested, so we work with preschools. We have some middle schools and some high schools. And we work with public schools and private schools, charter schools. And any kind of school that wants to do a garden, we will help them.
Our number, if you have any questions for Mr. Sharda, our master gardener, is 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. Who instructs the children in the garden?
Yeah.
How to learn how to garden?
Yeah. We have a really wonderful staff. Our whole staff is wonderful. But our schoolyard garden staff, we have 4 people. And each one of them carries, you know, like, you know, 50 to 60 schools that they work with, but they will go out to that school and help them, especially the part about planting, because lots of kids have never planted a garden before, and they will work with them and teach them. They actually help the teachers figure out what plants are best, and school gardens can be a little tricky because schools, you know, get out, you know, at the end of May, and then, you know, some schools, they have summer school programs, but, you know, so they have to plant stuff early, and they have to be able to harvest some stuff before school gets out. And then we also will help the school plant some stuff again for the fall so they can have a garden in the fall. And then schools, you know, some of the schools will actually use that with the kids, that they will get to taste it and eat it. Sometimes they'll make special dishes. Sometimes they'll make a salad. And some of the schools actually have enough they grow where children can take some of that food home and share it with their families. So there's lots of different ways that the schools can benefit from that. But besides just learning about food and healthy eating and nutrition, kids learn about science. They also learn about how to take care of a garden. And one of the things that's exciting for a school is that the first time we help them, we're actually helping them build that garden. And that means we take out lumber and soil and wheelbarrows and shovels, and then the kids, the students, actually get to help build that garden. And it's just a really wonderful experience for them.
So I know some students, like at East High School, they have hydroponics where they can grow year-round. Do any of your school programs offer hydroponics? Do you work with the children at East? I mean, students at East High School on that type of program?
Yeah. I mean, we work with East to help them do their outdoor vegetable garden. They have the special teachers that work with them on their hydroponics. That's kind of an unusual situation, but that can be a really exciting project for them to work on. Hydroponics are a little bit too complicated for your average school. The regular schools just have regular gardens outside, which works for everyone because it doesn't cost as much. You don't have to have an expensive greenhouse to do that, so it's very affordable. And we're trying to make it affordable for schools because we know schools don't have a lot of money either. And we get lots of really good support from the Healthcare Foundation of Kansas City to help promote our school garden program.
I know Nile Valley Aquaponics, run by Dre Taylor, is another great community garden.
Yeah.
If people are interested in learning about hydroponics and how to grow food without soil, they're located right there at the corner of 29th and Park. That's a great location, and they're always looking for volunteers. So there are some great gardening programs and different things that you can really learn to do with that. So we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be right back with Mr. Ben Sharda of Kansas City Community Gardens.
Hello, KKFI listeners. KKFI's 30th anniversary celebration will be held June 30th at the Folly Theater. Since you are a KKFI listener, you get access to the tickets 2 days before anyone else with the promo code 30YEARS. That's 30YEARS. There is a VIP reception at 6 days before anyone else with the promo code 30YEARS. That's 30YEARS. There is a VIP reception at 6 p.m. on the 30th, followed by a KKFI history presentation at 7 p.m. and the show starts at 8 with 2 house bands backing up at least 15 different artists of very different styles. We'll be celebrating the diverse, unique programming of KKFI live on stage at the Folly Theater on June 30th. And your promo code 30YEARS, that's 30YEARS, will get you tickets before they go on sale to the general public on Friday, March 2nd at noon. KKFI.org/events. Follow the links and use the promo code 30YEARS, all lowercase, no spaces. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting KKFI.
This week on The Bioneers.
I think all Americans should want and most do want to see the Constitution really embody the human rights basic principles that we all believe in, and the first one is equality.
Human rights lawyer Jessica Neuwirth says the current discussion about gender inequality opens the door to finally passing an equal rights amendment on Bioneers Radio.
Friday morning at 9:30.
Queer youth take aim at pro-gun lawmakers on This Way Out, Saturday afternoon at 2. Do you have a car, boat, truck, or motorcycle that's just been sitting there or is a real eyesore? Why not donate it to KKFI and get a tax deduction? To find out more, call Bill at 816-994-7869. This is Colleen Moorbach, a volunteer at KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station.
There are many environmental issues in Kansas. The Sierra Club's Zach Pistora brings us up to speed on what the legislature is doing on Eco Radio KC, Monday at 6 p.m.
And we're back. You're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City's Community Radio. This is Cowtown Conversations. I'm your host, Joseph Jackson. Today, our guest is Mr. Ben Charter, who's the Executive Director and Master Gardener for the Kansas City Community Gardens. So as we took a short break there, I know one of our callers earlier asked us, what's the best way to preserve fruits and vegetables? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, probably the easiest way for a homeowner to do that is to do freezing. Lots of the vegetables freeze really well, and it's easy to do that in small batches. Canning is something that a lot of people are interested in. It's a little more complicated. You have to learn the proper way to can, heat things to a certain temperature and do it very properly so that you don't have contamination. And I know the University of Missouri Extension Service teaches some classes on canning. We do some teaching on freezing. So freezing is kind of easier for most people to do. It just makes it simpler. And you mentioned the term Master Gardener. I just want to mention there actually is a special program that the University of Missouri does for Master Gardeners where they train people to go through the Master Gardener program. And I'm not officially a Master Gardener. I mean, I have a lot of gardening experience. I've been gardening for, 50 years, and I studied horticulture at the University of Missouri. But if people are interested in the Master Gardener training program, they should contact the University of Missouri Extension Service.
One of the unique programs that you offer that goes along with your schoolyard community gardens is you have a merit. You have a program where Boys and Girl Scouts and Brownies can earn merit badges. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, and that's actually with the Beanstalk Children's Garden. So we have special days. Right now, this summer, it'll be on our website when some Girl Scout groups can come in and get some of their badges done. And then we're starting to work with Boy Scouts, too, because they do badges as well, gardening merit badges. So we're interested in helping them work on those badges, and that helps them learn about gardening as they go through that.
You offer a variety of programs and classes there. You have a class tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit more. Can you talk about a little bit about the class that you're going to offer tomorrow? And then
yep.
We'll talk about some of the other classes and programs you'll
yep.
offer.
Yep. Tomorrow is Matt Bunch on our staff, who's with our Giving Grove, will be teaching about fruit maintenance. Again, taking care of fruit trees and berry plants. It's a little bit different than your regular vegetable plants because they're going to be around for a long time. So he's going to teach people how to take care of that so they can grow them in their own backyards. And it's easy if you're wanting to come to one of our workshops. You'll see them on our schedule on the website, and you can actually just reserve a spot for yourself online, or you can call in and make a reservation. And, we've even had people just show up, and they can still come. You know, we like people to make a reservation just so we know how many chairs they have ready for them. But anyone can come, and they are free. There's no charge to come to all of our workshops and classes.
You all have some other programs that you may offer, happy hour in the garden,
yeah.
A couple of things, and these go all year long. Talk to listeners a little bit about those.
Yeah, we do some special events, and some of them are fundraising events. I should mention we're having a big fundraising event in September called The Gardens at Sunset. And it's a really wonderful special evening in the garden with special food and chefs making special recipes, a lot of them from vegetables, of course. And there'll be music and all kinds of good things for that event. And that date is on our website as well, but that's in September. And then we have a happy hour in the garden schedule coming up. And so those events are literally every month, and they're on our website. And that's just kind of a chance for people to come to the community gardens and see our beautiful children's garden, but also just get to know who we are. And it'll explain what our mission is, but people will see the garden. So they are going to be all around. I mean, they'll be working through the season. And you can look at our website and see the different dates, and there's going to be different themes for those happy hours. And it's just a really fun chance to come see the community gardens. And it's very low cost. So there's another big special event that's an educational event for children and parents, and we call that our Fall Family Festival. And that will happen in September as well. And that's at the Beanstalk Children's Garden. If people have never been to the Beanstalk, that is the day to come, because we have lots of special activities going on that day, and that's in September.
So if you have a question for Mr. Schroeder, you can give our studio call a line, 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So you all are essentially one stop for people to learn how to garden and grow. What are some of the other classes and programs that you may offer? You know, you talked a little bit about canning, freezing, pruning trees.
Yep.
Let's go back to the one you talked about, pest. That the squirrels and other things. What is the best thing that people can do to keep, you know, their friends that they're trying to keep in their backyard from eating their tomatoes and different things?
Yeah. Squirrels are difficult. There's a number of different ways you can, you know, deter the squirrels. And one is to actually make a little cage around your tomatoes, like using something like chicken wire. Some people also have good luck just with using they'll put out there's actually some sprays that you can use to a hot pepper spray, because obviously it's super hot, that'll help keep them away. And then some people have good luck just with cats and dogs. If you have a really good dog in your yard who's patrolling, he can chase the squirrels away. The problem is if there's too many trees nearby, squirrels can jump from tree to tree. And, of course, they can get to your tomatoes. And the frustrating part is they'll often just take one bite out of that tomato, and then they'll drop it on the ground. And then, they'll go pick out another one and ruin that one. So, again, sometimes people actually have to construct a little cage around their tomatoes to protect them.
What, for anybody that, is it too late this year to look at starting a garden, or is this the perfect time?
Yeah, no, this is the perfect time. And, it's been getting warm lately, and so a lot of people are starting to think about that. But, yeah, the first time, if the garden's never been tilled, it's hard sometimes to break up that sod, and that's why it's worth it sometimes to hire someone to come out and getting it tilled. Or you can go out and turn it over with a shovel yourself and then till it after that. But, yeah, now is the time to start thinking about it. We kind of have two seasons for gardening, actually three seasons for gardening here. So we have a spring season, we have summer, and a fall season. And sometimes people don't get their garden going early enough, to get the early spring stuff. Because early spring stuff, we'll start planting here the middle of March. In 2 weeks, people can start putting out onion sets. They could put out spinach seeds, lettuce seeds, and things like that. Peas, very, very early, and potatoes all like to go in very early. And if you miss that time, we will have there's later planting stuff for the warm season stuff, so things for summer, like tomato plants. Those go in about May 1st, so you have some time to get those things ready. We actually have a resource for people. It's a planting calendar, a little sheet that has dates on it that tells you every kind of vegetable, when you should plant it, from what date to what date. And that's really helpful because sometimes people will want to plant their tomato plants too early, and they'll go out and they'll buy a tomato plant at, you know, the garden center somewhere, like at the 1st of April, and then we'll have a frost, and it will kill those tomato plants. So you really want to wait till it's warm enough. That's why following that planting calendar is really important.
What about watering? I know we're in a place where our summers can get really, really bad. How often should you water your community gardens, and what do you do if you have a garden and you can't get a lot of water to it?
Yes, and that can be difficult, and water is expensive, too. So, you know, average garden, you need about the equivalent of an inch of water a week. And so hopefully it's going to rain enough to do that, but we know that doesn't always happen here. So, that's when people need to water. And so, obviously if you have access to a hose, you know, and I like to use a good nozzle, like a water breaker nozzle that helps put a nice gentle spray out for watering. And then when your garden's bigger, you might actually put a sprinkler on it. You can do that. But one of the biggest things that people can do to, you know, cut down on how much water they need to do is to put mulch out. And people hear the term mulch kind of thrown around and they don't know what that means. Sometimes people talk about wood chips. And yeah, for trees and shrubs, you can use wood chips as a mulch, or like a garden path, you can put wood chips down. But for a vegetable garden, I recommend using straw is a really good mulch. If you have grass clippings, like when you mow your lawn and you don't spray your lawn, you can actually use the grass clippings from your lawn as a mulch. And all that means is to mulch, you're putting this organic matter like the straw or the grass clippings, and you're just putting around your plants. You're just, you know, covering the ground with about a 2-inch thick layer. And this is one of the things we teach in our gardening classes, is that mulch does really wonderful things. It will cut down on how much water you need to use. So you won't need to water your garden nearly as often, because in the summer, when it gets hot, you know, it'll get 100 degrees, and the top of the soil will just bake hard like a rock, and the plants will really suffer from that. But if you can put that mulch down, that keeps the soil moist and will keep the soil cooler, and it'll keep the ground softer, and you won't have to water nearly as much.
So if you have a question for Mr. Sharda, from the Executive Director for Kansas City Community Gardens, you can give us a call at 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So back to watering. Is it best to use a regular hose, or can people use soaker hoses? And about how long should they water to get that 1 inch worth of water?
That's what's hard to know, because a soaker hose is great because that puts the water down slowly and gently, and you don't have to stand there. If you have to actually stand there and just do it with a nozzle, lots of times people are just watering, and they'll just be watering the top inch or two. You really want to – you can tell you've done enough is after you've watered. If you reach down and 6 inches, you can feel that it's wet down to 6 inches. That shows that you've probably watered enough.
Okay. So you also have some great blogs going on at the Kansas City Community Gardens. The Schoolyard Gardens blog, is that something? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. Because the Schoolyard Gardens, they go out and they work with so many schools. They have lots of, you know, information they're trying to tell those teachers and students. And so you can read that blog and find out what's going on in the Schoolyard Gardens and hear about some of the different schools they work with. And it's just exciting to see that. They'll talk about whenever they build a new garden or things like that. So it's fun to read about what's going on with the schoolyards.
And then you have another one, What's Growing at Kansas City Community Gardens. What's in that blog?
You know, that one, it just kind of tells you what's going on, the latest things. We've been doing the different blogs for a while, and, you know, it's just a way to get information out there. I will mention another program that we haven't really talked about, and it's called Beanstalk Seeds. And what this is, we're actually packaging our own seeds to try and make some money to generate revenue to help support our programs. And so think of like a mail order seed catalog, like people get in the mail every year this time. And you can order seeds through the mail. You can now order seeds through the mail. If you don't live in Kansas City, you live in another part, or you have relatives in another part of the state, in another part of the country, they can order seeds through us online from our website at beanstalkseeds.com. And that's just a way for people to, you know, get access to good seeds who maybe not would have access to that.
And then we saved our best. You've got one that's called Ben's Tips. Can you talk about that?
Sure. Yeah. I like to write about gardening tips. You know, things that I've learned over the years. You know, every year when I garden, I'm still learning. I learn about new stuff. I knew new ways to garden. I had some trick to make gardening easier. And so I'll write about what's going on in the garden right at that time. And the tips blog is a little helpful because that helps people know what they should be paying attention to for that time with their garden.
And definitely want to mention the Kansas City Community Garden is a 501c3 nonprofit, so it's definitely one of those organizations that, you know, you all do good work, nonprofit work in the community. You know, other than volunteers, or other things that you all need help with, or you may ask community to come in from time to time and help do?
Yeah. Well, I mean, obviously, any not-for-profit has to raise money. And people ask us lots of times, where does your money come from? And our money comes from lots of sources. I mean, we get help from, you know, foundations, from corporations. We have churches who donate money to us. We also have individuals. So an individual family can make a donation to the community gardens. We have an Adopt-A-Garden program. If someone donates $50, basically you're paying for somebody else to have a garden who doesn't have the money to have a garden. So that's one way to help. We also get money from the city of Kansas City, Missouri. They've been supporting us for a number of years. We get money from United Way. There are lots of organizations, corporations, entities throughout the whole city. It really is a community effort. People are from all over the city are helping to support. So if you are interested and want to know how to donate, on our website, there's information that will tell you how to do that. You can do it online.
So if I live, but I don't want to do a community garden, I don't want to do a garden in my backyard, but I'd like to work with a garden, do you have a program that may help me find out where a garden may be located near me in my community?
Yeah. It's actually on our website. We have a map that shows like the whole Kansas City metropolitan area, and you'll see a whole bunch of little dots on that map, and there's different kinds for different kinds of gardens. So it'll show you like where a school garden is. If you highlight an area in your neighborhood and you can see if there's a school garden there or a community partner garden or a giving grove, and it will tell you where those sites are located. And I mean, I tell you, when I drive through Kansas City right now, every time I'm driving through the city, I realize there's gardens of ours that we've helped start, and they're everywhere. So it's just exciting to see those.
So, again, as we wind down, if you've got to get those last questions in for Mr. Sharda, our number is 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So what is the first step in really building a garden if you've never did one before? What should people do first? You know, should they come talk to you? Should they get a book on gardening? What's the first step they should really do to look at planting a garden?
Sure. I mean, you can absolutely go to the library. The public library has lots of great books on gardening. You can go to the Internet. The problem is you go to the Internet, you can be totally overwhelmed. And so that's why I like to recommend people maybe coming to the Beginning Gardening Workshop. We call it Gardening 101, Vegetable Gardening Basics. And it really just teaches people kind of the simple stuff to get started so they don't get overwhelmed with how to have a garden. Beyond that, you got to figure out where are you going to have your garden. So if you're going to have it in your backyard, you got to pick the best location for it, which means try to pick the sunniest spot. And if you have some trees, what I tell people is go out and kind of look where the trees are and look to see at what different times of day it will be getting sunshine. And so any spot that gets sunshine all day long, that's the best. And if there's, you know, some trees in the way, you just got to look for the best place where you can have your garden. And then, again, getting that soil worked up the first time is the hardest. So, you know, hiring somebody to do the tilling or renting a tiller or even just going out with a spade and just turning that over, the sod over, so that ground will start to get softer. So you can get ready to plant stuff coming up here in March and April and May.
We've got a question. Caller, can you tell Mr. Charter your name and where you're calling from and what your question is?
Rita Wilkie, East Summit, Missouri. I didn't get the website where you could locate community gardens.
Yes, it's the initials KCCG. That just stands for Kansas City Community Gardens. So it's kccg.org. And it's actually an easier way to find it is if you just Google Kansas City Community Gardens, it'll take you straight to that website.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Colin.
Bye.
So we've thought about now building a garden, and you said the best way is to come back and start with you all and, you know, look at a membership because
yep.
Membership, it's one of those things, membership has its privileges. Can you talk about that membership just a little bit more?
Again, with the membership, you get 10 packages of seeds, and then you can buy seeds, you know, at very low cost if you want to buy additional packages of seeds. And the other thing is the seeds that we have are good seeds. We buy from a bunch of different companies, but we pick varieties that we know will do well here in Kansas City, and that will be very productive. And then with your membership, you also get that 10-pound bag of organic fertilizer. And then, if you want to buy some tomato plants so you can grow some of those good homegrown tomatoes, you can buy tomato plants from us at a discount. And for a low-income family, it costs about a third of what it costs if they would go to a garden center, so they can save a lot of money. And if you're not low-income, you can still save money, you know, and get good plants. So it really is just a great resource. And then the other thing, of course, with your membership, you can come to workshops. You can buy garden supplies, like if you want to buy some straw to put mulch down around your garden, it's hard to find places that sell straw here in the city, and you can buy that through us at low cost, or if you want to rent the tiller. So there's just so many benefits to membership, and you could also actually rent a space at the community garden sites, but they are filling up fast, so if anybody's interested in doing that, some of the gardens have waiting lists, and so you may not actually be able to get in this spring. You might have to wait till the next spring, but it's good to get on that waiting list so you can be ready. But we do have some openings at some of our community garden sites.
So our number again for callers is 816-931-5534. That's 816-931-KKFI. So it's not too late to start. Now is the time to start, but you begin just to plan the garden and begin to look at where you want to put it, because we're getting ready to get a lot of rain pretty soon, and that may be the perfect time to have somebody come out and till it where the ground won't be as hard as it normally may be.
Right. Although, I tell you, that tilling gets tricky because then right after the rain, it's too muddy to till, and so you have to wait for it to dry out just a little bit. So really, you want it to be just kind of at that perfect condition for tilling. So that in the springtime, sometimes it rains so much, people actually get frustrated because they have to wait to get their gardens tilled. So that's why it's good to get signed up for that early.
So then you can have an all-organic garden, because if you cut your grass and save the clippings, you can use those clippings to put on top. So you're going to get better fruits and vegetables than you would get from the store, because you're not going to be using a lot of pesticides.
Yes, and that's one of the things we have a workshop. We teach people on how to control insects, because besides things like squirrels, there's all kinds of bugs that can eat your garden. And we have ways for you to control them using some organic sprays and also just using different cultural practices, how to discourage them. So, we're just trying to help people figure out gardening and so that they can grow lots of food.
So this has definitely been a great segment and a great session. Is there anything else you would like to tell the listeners as we close down this session about the Kansas City Community Gardens? Give that website again. Give a phone number and an address for those that may want to email so that people can know how to get hold of you all and take advantage of some of these great programs.
Yep. Again, the website is kccg.org, or just Google Kansas City Community Gardens. And our phone number is 816-931-3877. And we're located in Swope Park at 6917 Kensington, which is, again, very close to the zoo and the nature center. The easy way to get there is to come on Gregory. It's easier than coming on 63rd. So come on Gregory, and at the corner of Kensington and Gregory, there's a sign, and it'll head you right up the hill towards the Kansas City Community Gardens. And if you've never visited us, come visit us, even if you just want to, you know, you're not going to garden, but you just want to find out more about what we're doing. And you can come in the springtime, later on, that Children's Garden, the Beanstalk Children's Garden, will open up around June 15th, and then it will be open every day, Monday through Friday, if you just want to come and see a beautiful garden and see things that maybe you've never seen before, things like figs or cotton or Asian pears or just all kinds of stuff. It's a really beautiful garden site to visit.
I would like to thank Mr. Schroeder for being our guest today on Cowtown Conversations, and we never end without our Community Minute. It's election time again, and absentee voting has started for the April school board election and city election. So if you need information on receiving an absentee ballot, contact the Kansas City Election Board at 30 West Pershing Road, Kansas City, Missouri, 64108. That phone number is 816-842-4820, or you can go online at kceb.org. Join Director of Creative Services Megan Krieger for coffee shop hours in March. Come to discuss interests, ask the questions, and share priorities for the continued growth of the arts in Kansas City, Missouri. The coffee is going to be tomorrow, at March the 2nd, at 10 a.m. at Second Best Coffee, 328 West 85th Street, Kansas City, Missouri. And if you haven't filed your income taxes, it's not too late. Next Step KC operates several IRS-sponsored VITA volunteer income tax assistance preparation sites in the Kansas City area. VITA offers free tax help to hardworking taxpayers with incomes below $60,000 who cannot afford to have their tax prepared on their own. And they have a big site right there at the Center for Good, Connecting for Good, right there at the corner of Linwood and Brooklyn. So you can go there. They do taxes Monday through Friday. So definitely, if you need assistance with your taxes, give them a call. Join us next week, and our guests will be representatives from Kansas City Parks and Recreation. They'll be discussing the LifeX program and how they're trying to expand life expectancies and zip codes where they're lower than other areas. For Cowtown Conversations, this has been your host, Joseph Jackson. Thank you. Have a great and wonderful day, and stay tuned for My Place with Larry J.